724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn. Weekdays from 12:30 to 2 on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn. 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Monday edition of It's Your Turn. What happened to the weekend? It just seems like it was a couple of hours ago. It was Friday afternoon, right? Here we are Monday, and a wet one as well. Well, the weather's drying out. In fact, we've even had a couple of bursts of sunshine. But I don't know whether you've been out in the last couple of hours. It is definitely getting chillier. It was expected to. We are a week into November, after all, you know. We're going to talk about the outdoors on the first portion of the program today. We look forward to that. We're going to be talking with Mark Pizzuto of the Butler Outdoor Club. A little bit later on the program, social media is in the news. Well, it seems to be in the news all the time. Most recently, being used by perhaps outsiders to influence our election of last year. Well, we're not going to talk about that aspect of social media, but what about teens? What about teenagers and their use of social media? And we're going to be chatting with a guest, Nancy Jo Sales, who has researched this, specifically concentrating on American teenage girls. She says they seem to use social media more than boys. And some pretty sobering statistics. It's a lot different than maybe when you and I were in school. We'll also talk to some real-life teenagers today, teenagers doing good stuff. They're all part of the all-school play coming up at Butler Senior High School, and that is this coming weekend, I believe. Dale Van Lanningham, the theater coach, will be with us and some of the students as well. So we have a full boat today. We have a lot of guests to chat with. We love it when we have a program like that. Let's say hello, first of all, to Mark Pizzuto of the Butler Outdoor Club. Mark, nice to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
You're the president of the club, right?
Current president, yes.
Have you been in that seat for a long time?
This is the end of my second term coming up here now at the end of the year.
Okay. Are you going to serve again, or does that
I probably
around?
Will, mm-hmm. if I'm elected.
Yeah. Well, you have your annual meeting coming up soon, right?
Yeah, we have our banquet this coming Saturday at the East Butler Fire Hall.
Is that when you'll do your
No, we
business?
Do our elections at our December meeting, first Wednesday night in December. We have a Christmas party and election of officers at that time.
So your annual dinner is just for fun, huh?
Well, it's a fundraiser, and we bring in, we honor an outstanding contributor of the year, and we have a program. It's just a get-together of the members of the club and anyone who wants to attend.
So it's open to the public?
It's open to the public, yes.
You know? I know some people who are interested in the outdoors. They would be made to feel welcome if they would come this Saturday?
Yes. Mm-hmm. The only thing I need is to make sure that I have a reservation by tomorrow, so we can guarantee the meal that you can choose from.
Yeah,
it's a dinner. So
need to know how much chicken to put into the pot. Huh?
Right.
Or whatever you're having.
Right.
Not sure.
Stuffed chicken or stuffed pork chops.
Oh, either or.
Either or.
I love stuffed pork chops. Where will the venue be, Mark?
It is at the East Butler Fire Hall in the upstairs room in their social hall upstairs.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm looking at a flyer for your dinner, and it is quite the nice evening. You're going to have a program from the Audubon Society?
Yes.
And what's the topic there?
The topic is the Ice Age in Western Pennsylvania. What it consists of is millions of years ago, Pennsylvania was... tremendous event that has left many marks, on our area here. Mm-hmm. Ryan from the Audubon Society will discuss some noted Ice Age features in our local landscape and offer clues to finding out more. It was just a geological instant ago. The area's climate was frigid. They say woolly mammoths walked throughout Butler County and ancient man hunted them. Mm. So we're going to explore with Ryan the bogs, the Kettle Lakes, the Eskers, the erratics, and the moraines that lay on our doorstep here in Butler County.
The moraines. Now, there's something I know because one of the glaciers, right, from the last ice age
right.
stopped stopped its downward movement right across Butler County.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And left the, well, there's a name, Terminal Moraine, right? Kind of like mm-hmm. a huge pile of rocks or right. something. Just if you could imagine a gargantuan bulldozer pushing rocks and stuff, and then when it stopped, there's this pile of debris. And it's from that that we get the name from Moraine State Park.
Yes.
I read a little bit about Dr. Frank Preston. That's the only reason I know this, Mark.
he was very instrumental in the outdoors here in Butler.
Yeah, yeah. He and his wife, Jane, both very interested in the environment and preservationists of the environment.
Yes.
And boy, that's what members of the Butler Outdoor Club do. You are great environmentalists, right? You want to protect the nature in all of its forms, plants and animals.
And we like to do that because we like to play out there, so we're going to protect it.
So the annual dinner, 23rd year for it, is this Saturday at the East Butler Fire Hall. And there's still time to make a reservation if you'd like to do so. How would you do that, Mark?
You can do it one of two ways. You can either send me an email through the Butler Outdoor Club, president@butleroutdoorclub.org. You can go to the Butler Outdoor Club website. There's a link on there mm-hmm. to the email address. Or you can call me, my cell phone, 724-919-2303. It's $15 per person, and you have a choice of either a stuffed chicken breast or stuffed pork chop dinner, along with baked potato, green bean casserole, salad, desserts. So, and then, you know, but, you know, if we know you're coming or you say you're coming, I think I can trust you for the to bring the check or the money to the meeting or on Saturday night, and, you know, because we ordered through a caterer, and we need to have an idea of how many people are showing up. To
that program sounds really fascinating. The Ice Age in Western Pennsylvania, presented by a speaker from the Audubon Society. I've talked with those folks, but not for quite some time. I try to, every once in a while, do a program. I talked early this year with two folks from the Western Pennsylvania Conservancy,
okay,
also very much involved right. in the establishment of Moraine State Park, and Dr. Frank Preston, mm-hmm. he was prominently mentioned by them. And the Audubon Society, they have a couple of areas, nature areas here
they
in
have
Butler County.
Two of them in Butler County. They have the Suckup Center down there by the airport,
mm-hmm.
The Suckup Conservancy down there, and they have the Todd Nature Area down in Sarver.
That's the one I was trying to think of, and that's down in the...
right by the racetrack down by, what is it, Harmer, or not Harmer, Larnerville.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was trying to think of, is I don't know whether gorge is the proper terminology, but that's where the creek really starts to carve out some interesting formations right. there along the Butler Freeport bike trail.
Right. And yeah. they do weekly hikes down there at the different Audubon places. I think one's Wednesday, one's Thursday, and one's Friday. One of them's the Butler, the Suckup, the Todd, and the one down in Fox Chapel, which is the...
I know where it is, but I can't think of the name of it either. Well, that matters okay. not.
Yeah, but they do weekly hikes down there at 9 o'clock in the morning. They do nature hikes, and it's open to the public, and you can go down and do hikes with them every week. Each place has one different day of the week.
Does the Butler Outdoor Club, your organization, do they ever organize hikes, or do your members just do that on their own?
No, we organize hikes. We have at least one organized hike per month that we do usually on a Saturday or a Sunday. We advertise it well in advance, and it's usually somewhere either on the North Country Trail mm-hmm. or on the Freeport Butler Bike Trail or one of the other trails in the area, McConnell's Mill or wherever. So and the North Country Trail has actually four chapters in Pennsylvania, and the North Country Trail, Butler is an affiliated member of the North Country Trail. And the Wampum chapter has hikes also monthly, and so does the Clarion chapter. So if anybody's interested in hiking, check out the North Country Trail website, and there's monthly hikes on each one of the areas of the trail. And you also have the one way up north, which is the Allegheny National Forest part of the trail.
Mm-hmm. The North Country Trail runs from Minnesota, swings down under the Great Lakes.
Actually, from North Dakota.
Oh, North Dakota? Mm-hmm. Okay. under the Great Lakes and then up through western Pennsylvania and
on up through east, all the way through to eastern New York. It's about 4,600 miles long.
Wow. I can remember when they were still working on that here in Butler County. I think they're pretty much done now.
Now, there's still some open sections that aren't on trail yet that you're on roads. But, you know, you're trying to get some easements to clean that up to, you know, tie it into a trail.
Mm-hmm. I can remember several years ago when they had a big project to try to get the hikers who were on the trail across the Bear Creek Gorge mm-hmm. up near Bruin and Parker. Which is a huge gorge just before Bear Creek empties into the Allegheny River. Mm-hmm. And they ended up building a bridge down there. It's pretty nice.
Well, Parker has become a trail town for the North Country Trail there a couple of years ago. That they're one of the, you know, stops along the trail for people to participate at.
Mm-hmm. And that's a place where occasionally you've got to walk a little bit on a road. Got to get across the Allegheny River there.
So right.
you're not going to build a hiking bridge across the Allegheny River. That's a pretty long stretch. Well, anyway, featured program by the Audubon Society of Western Pennsylvania on the Ice Age in Western Pennsylvania. And we were covered with ice at one point. And you said mammoths walked around in Butler County.
That's what they say. I've never seen any.
I can remember seeing pictures of them in my 7th grade history book. Woolly mammoths. Let's talk a little bit about the Butler Outdoor Club. If you're joining us a little bit late, listeners, welcome Mark Pizzuto with us here in the studio. He's the president of the Butler Outdoor Club. I suppose when a lot of folks think of an outdoor club, they think of mountain climbers, you know, some pretty heavy stuff. You see pictures of these people going up sheer cliff faces and that sort of stuff. Do you do any of that?
No.
More of a relaxed club.
We're a relaxed outdoor club, yes.
Now, you do hiking and stuff.
We do
like
hiking,
that.
Yes. We do hiking, kayaking, canoeing, birding, biking, cross-country skiing, snowshoeing, camping, and picnics. We're not an extreme outdoor club. If you want an adrenaline rush, we're not for you. We're a lot of older people, enjoy being outdoors year-round, doing things in the weather other than lightning. Very few things stop.
Mm-hmm. So you do camping? You're on camping trips, like extended hikes where you'd have to camp for a couple
of days? Yes, some people do backpacking hiking trips. We have a few members that will go down on the Appalachian Trail every year and spend a week hiking and camping on the Appalachian Trail.
Have you done that?
No.
I had a nephew who did that. He didn't do the whole thing because that's like
It's long.
From Georgia to Maine or something like that. But it's an experience that a lot of people want to give a try to. So your hikes are more around the tri-state area, I guess.
Ours are more in the Butler County area. The ones that we do are usually in Butler County. And like I said, they're usually 4 to 7 miles. And it's, you know, moderate terrain, nothing that's, you know, you're going up and down a hill that you need to be a goat or anything to do. But, you know, some rolling hills. And
Are there places that you can canoe and kayak here? Lake Arthur's one place.
Oh, there is a lot of places around here to do. I mean, you got Lake Arthur. You got Lake Wilhelm up there at Goddard State Park.
Mm-hmm. It's near Sandy Lake, I think.
Right. You got the Conoconessing Creek. They, you know, put in a couple new ramp launches down there for canoes and kayaks on the Conoconessing. You got Armstrong County has 5 or 6 beautiful lakes over there to kayak on. You got the river. You have Crooked Creek. Mm-hmm. You have Mahoning Creek or Mahoning Lake, Keystone Lake.
I've canoed down the Clarion. Have you ever done that?
The Clarion, yes. The Clarion you can put in and come down the Clarion River.
Up around Cook Forest.
Right, Cook Forest. Yeah. Or you can put in up around the high school up there and float down to the Allegheny and take out in Parker.
Mm-hmm.
There's various floats you can do like that. But a lot of ours, we do out and backs basically on lakes. If you're doing a river or a creek, you're doing a lot of carpooling and, you know, going and dropping people off at the beginning, ending up somewhere else, have to go up, get the cars you left at the other place, come back down and pick everything up.
Logistical nightmare. Huh?
It can be if you have a lot of people.
Yeah. Easier to do just an out and
out
back.
Out and back, yes.
Especially when you've got lots of places around here.
Right,
for sakes. Yeah. I must say, though, one time I went up, in fact, it was a couple of years ago, I went up to the upper reaches of the Allegheny. I was going up to see a World War II reenactment at a place called Titiute along the upper Allegheny. Man, when the Allegheny gets small up there, it becomes almost like the Conequenessing.
Right.
And the day I went up there, it was a gorgeous day, just full of kayakers and canoeists and everything coming, just meandering down the river, you know. Nothing like it was further downstream, like around Foxburg or East Brady or certainly Pittsburgh.
Right.
It was just a gentle stream, very peaceful.
Well, one thing they were talking about earlier this year was possibly taking out the locks on the Allegheny River. Locks like numbers 6, 7, 8, and 9, because no one uses them anymore for commercial traffic.
Mm-hmm.
They are open now in the summer by a group that's a nonprofit that funds the locks, and they pay the Army Corps of Engineers to run the locks on weekends and during certain holidays and certain events in the Katanning area over there to run the locks. And they were, you know, they're possibly looking, maybe not in my lifetime, but these locks are all needing some major repairs. And if they were to take these locks out, and, you know, they wouldn't take the dams out, but they would take the locks out, the water levels behind these would drop significantly, and you would have basically like the Clarion River in some places in the Allegheny from Freeport up to Kinzu.
Well, it's not news for barge traffic anyway.
So, no.
Yeah, some of those locks, many of them were built back in the WPA days,
right.
You know, the Works Progress Administration.
Right.
So you do some canoeing and kayaking, hiking. I see birding on your list of activities here.
Right.
And you were telling me, just when we sat down to begin the program here, that you have a lot of avid birders in your group.
Yes. Like I said, our most avid birder, he passed away this year, John Staley.
Good friend of mine.
Right. Yeah. And he's a tough set of shoes to fill in that respect.
He was good at identifying birds.
Yes. Yeah, you'd be out on a hike with John, and he would hear a bird, and he could tell you what it was and where it was just by hearing the bird sing.
Wow. Something I never got into, and I thought I might like to try it sometime. All you need is a pair of binoculars, right?
A pair of binoculars, yes.
Guidebook.
Yeah. You can pick those up down at the Audubon Society or take the Audubon app off the website, and you can download it, and you can check for whatever bird you want to see and key in whatever the bird looks like, and it filters it down by shape, and then you filter it down a little bit more, and you can basically pick out the bird that you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives you samples of their chirp or their call or whatever, and you can play that. Is it similar to what you just heard?
I suppose in today's day and age, too, with the high-tech digital cameras, you could snap a couple of quick pictures, and you'd have that to help identify, too.
Right.
There is a... there's an annual bird count done every winter. Is the Butler Outdoor Club involved with that at all? Or do you
yes, we are. We're involved in the Christmas bird count up here in Butler County. It takes place December 16th this year. Our area is out around Moraine. In western Pennsylvania, there are about six or seven circles, as they call them, where they do the counts for.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do, it's about a 15-mile radius from a center point that you go out and count the birds in that area. So they have a unique way, or, you know, specific way on how you count the birds. You know, you don't count each individual bird, but, you know, you make a representative sample of what you see at a particular time. You use the number of the birds that you see the most of at one particular time. So if you're in one area and you see two, say, woodpeckers, and those fly away, the next time you use three woodpeckers. Well, you don't count five woodpeckers. You use three woodpeckers as the count.
Okay. And that takes place on one day?
Well, each location has – it's done over 3 weekends at certain places. Yeah, you'll start in the morning and go till late afternoon to count that 15. You know, we'll start maybe at the propagation area out there at Moraine, then move up to 528 and a few other spots to count whatever we count in different areas and log it in. The bird count was started back in 1900. What had happened was prior to the turn of the 20th century, hunters engaged in a holiday tradition known as the Christmas side hunt. And what it was they would go out and choose sides and go out hunting with their guns, and whoever brought in the biggest pile of feathered and furry animals would win the hunt. So come 1900, the one of the members of the Audubon Society said, well, let's do away with this hunt and start a bird count. So in 1900, they started a Christmas bird hunt to do away with the hunt and go on to a count. And it also it became, you know, more way of, I guess, where they started finally becoming a holiday tradition that it was a census rather than a hunt. And it also took effect on women's hats and everything else. You remember some of the old movies and women's hats back then? They all had feathers in them, and some even had birds on them. So they got away. They got more, you know, early conservationists back there, you know, to save the birds.
You still see a lot of that in England, by the way,
right,
where bird hunting is very big.
Right.
The royals had their own they had secondary palaces where they just go to hunt pheasants and stuff like that all the time.
And one of the other things about the Christmas bird count is when you count the birds, you can see how far north or south the birds have migrated at a particular time of the year. So one year, say in this area, you may count X number of this birds, and maybe next year that number is significantly higher or lower because the weather at that time has changed hotter or colder. It hasn't changed cold enough yet for them to go further south. And then there's also done a what's called a backyard bird count by the Audubon Society, where they do bird counts every week, back-to-back days, and you can log into their website to it. So they can see how where the birds go to throughout the winter. And they have this charted on their website where you can go in and see, you know, maybe how it fluctuates over the years, like where a particular bird, where a cardinal may be or where a robin may be throughout the winter for each year.
You know, I have a couple of little stories I can tack on to that, just stuff that I've run into over the past couple of years. Number one, talk to some birders, you know, because I always get calls in, you know, March, say, we saw our first robin, you know, in the backyard. And I've talked to birders who say
they're here all year round.
Yeah, robins are here all year round. I know. I don't want to make anybody mad. I don't want to, you know, blow up any myths for you. But robins are not migratory birds. So you may see a robin for the first time in March or April and out in your backyard pulling out a worm or something like that. But the Audubon people told me they overwinter here. Now, what they do, you don't see them because they go inside like thick pine trees.
Yes.
Where they can be out of the wind, because otherwise they would, you know, freeze. So I said, wow, how about that? The other thing is, and I haven't talked to any experts on this other than my own two eyeballs, Canada geese obviously don't migrate as far south as they used to. Whenever I was a kid, you know, in the autumn when you'd hear the honkers, everybody'd run outside to look at them heading south, you know, in the classic V formation. They're all around here now to the point where they've really become a nuisance. They've become a hygiene problem around here. We didn't used to have that. Please, Canada geese, go back home or go south. Cut us a break for a few months out of the year.
But unfortunately, that may mean colder weather and more snow here. So
that's true, too. We're talking with Mark Pizzuto. Mark, stick with us here for a few more minutes. I got some other stuff to talk with you about. The Butler Outdoor Club. Folks, are you familiar with this group? Gosh, I haven't talked with anybody from the Outdoor Club in a long, long time. I know a lot of people who now, you know, hunters obviously enjoy the outdoors, but some people don't like to hunt. They just like to be outside. They like to enjoy camping and hiking and so on and so forth. And the Butler Outdoor Club is a wonderful organization. Do you take new members any time during the year?
Yes, we do. And we, our meetings are open to the public. You don't have to be a member to attend our meetings. Our meetings are the first Wednesday of the month at the Butler YMCA. Begin at 6:30, and we have a little half-hour social. Meeting starts at 7. We usually have a presentation every month. We bring in someone from the outside, or someone from the inside does a presentation on a trip they have done.
And you have activities year-round, right?
We have activities year-round, but we have our monthly meetings, right?
Winter hikes?
Winter hikes, winter picnics. We start the first day of January. We have our New Year's Day picnic out at Moraine, and then we lead what's called the first hike first day hike, where we meet at people at the bike rental area out at Moraine. Last year, we had about 200 people show up for the hike on New Year's Day. Mm. And it's an out-and-back hike. You can go anywhere from 1 mile to 7 miles. You can go out about 3.5 miles and then come back 3.5 miles. And, I mean, the turnout the last couple of years has been unbelievable.
I have hiked in the winter, and I enjoy it. And even more these days, because you don't have to worry about ticks like you do in the summertime.
Right.
And you don't have the foliage and everything. There are some special places around here that are just gorgeous right after a snowfall.
Yes.
You know, if you can time it right, if it's a Saturday morning or whatever. I'm not going to reveal these places because I want them to remain as peaceful and quiet as they are right now. It is great fun. Hey, so you dress up a little bit, you still have fun. Got to take a quick break. A few more minutes with Mark when we return. One of our sponsors on the program today is Going Postal Butler. Folks, with the holiday season almost upon us now. Boy, I was watching some football yesterday, and it's all Christmas commercials now, isn't it? Right? Yeah, Christmas time. Well, we're only a little over 2 weeks away from Thanksgiving. If you're going to be mailing packages and gifts to family and friends far away, think about using this great business here locally. It's called Going Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center. They're just off Newcastle Road, right behind King's and Villa Grande, in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex there. And what do? They package your items for shipping. How great is that? So you know it's going to be secure, whether you've got a couple of packages or 12, you know. And you can ship it any way you want, by the way. FedEx, UPS, U.S. Postal Service. They have other services as well at Going Postal Butler. If you need something copied, they can do that for you. Scanning, faxing, mailbox rentals, greeting cards. There's an official notary there. Sometimes you need something notarized before it goes out. You can even grab a lottery ticket. It's your friendly neighborhood shipping center, Going Postal Butler. Call them for more info, 724-841-0044. And again, they're just off Newcastle Road, right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants in the Shockey Mini Storage there. Going Postal Butler. Very, very convenient business, especially as we approach the holiday season, that's for sure. We're chatting with Mark Pizzuto. Mark is the president of the Butler Outdoor Club. They are having their annual dinner and a program this coming Saturday. There's still time if you would be interested in attending, although you'll have to get in touch with Mark by tomorrow to get your name into the reservation pile, because it is a dinner and a program this Saturday at East Butler Fire Hall. We're talking about some of the activities of the club, and those of you who enjoy the outdoors as I do, wish I could spend more time outdoors. I guess that's one of the benefits of joining the club.
Yes.
Because you know that there are going to be some friends, whether it's 4 or 5 or 10 or 12, that you're going to be together. You're going to go out for a hike or whatever, or bird count together. So it's nice. Yeah. Sometimes if it's just by yourself, you say, I think I'll wait till next week. You know?
Well, usually 2, 3, 4 is not bad.
Yeah. Nice group. Nice organization. There's a word that you listed. Some of the background information that Mark gave me about the club. And I'm not sure I've ever seen this word before. Phenology. Am I pronouncing that correctly,
yes,
Mark? Phenology. I don't know. I know it's not stamp collecting, although it's close to that. What's phenology?
Phenology, we had the Penn State Master Gardener come in and did a program on what's called nature's alarm clock. And it's how plants and animals know when and why it's time to do things they do in the spring, whether they end hibernation, bloom, mate, migrate, to do with the sun and the heat and the warmth in the sky and when things come to life in the spring.
There are so many factors that enter into that, including sensitivity, even plants, which, from a standpoint of, don't have a brain, but they are very sensitive to light.
Yes.
And when you start losing light, or the opposite in the spring, gaining light, that's a big alarm clock for plants, isn't it?
One of the things I learned here this year was that birds, they can lay their eggs, but even though they're not sitting on the nest, if the weather turns cold and the eggs are left in the nest, those eggs will still remain until it warms up again, they can come back and sit on them and hatch them at a later date. As long as they're not too far in the incubation process,
wow,
they can come back and save those eggs. Hmm. Even though it looks like someone's not, you know, they laid eggs and people may think, well, those eggs are gone. They just don't lay on them for a couple of days because they know the cold weather's there. And
remember last spring we had the eagles down along the Monongahela River where they built their nest. The female had laid the eggs. They were already sitting on them, and they had a freak windstorm, blew the tree down that their nest was in, destroyed the eggs. And I listened to some Audubon folks said, well, hang on. There might be more. And sure enough, they rebuild a nest in a matter of a few days.
Yeah.
And these eagle nests are like 10 feet across. Right. I mean, this is not a robin's nest. And son of a gun, the female laid more eggs, and I think they take turns, the male and the female sitting on them. It was a wonderful story. And, of course, now we get to see it. Now, we didn't this time because they had the camera all set up for the original tree, so we didn't get the live pics. But what a wonderful story. How nature is able to take care of that, you know, by itself. Phenology, huh?
Phenology.
Yeah. Now, temperature plays a part. Boy, animals must be really goofed up this year with the trees are just reaching their maximum color right now. We're a week into November. It's bizarre.
Very.
I mean, it's like at least three weeks late, almost a month late.
Yes.
I thought last night, well, I heard somebody on TV say, well, if your leaves aren't all down now, they certainly will be after this storm. No, that's not true. I was driving around it today. Most trees still have their leaves. It's just everything is delayed by 3-4 weeks. So that has to confuse the animals a little bit, don't you think?
Sure does.
Yeah. Oh, no, deer are pretty smart. How big is your club, by the way?
We have a base membership of about 125 members.
Oh, that's larger than I would have believed. Wow.
So, you know, like I said, the memberships are relatively inexpensive, $15 for an individual, $20 for a family, and with the membership you get our monthly newsletter. So that's basically the difference between a member and a non-member. Mm-hmm. Meetings are open to the public, anything, and so is our events. We do not charge for events. And unless we go someplace to do something that requires a payment, we have equipment that you can borrow or use if we want to go out and try kayaking or cross-country skiing or snowshoeing. We can get you out in a kayak to see if you like it or want to try it. It's kind of like riding a bike. You just don't sit on a bike. You got to sit in the kayak and go right off the back, because if you sit there, you're going to wobble back and forth. But if you get in and just go real slow on a lake, it's going to be easy to conquer fast.
Have you been an outdoors lover all of your life, Mark?
Mostly off and on, yes. Mm-hmm. I was involved in sports quite heavily, and then once I got older and my knees couldn't take the pounding of playing sports anymore, I got more back involved with the outdoor club.
I mention that because folks who are, in their senior years, midlife, or even further, maybe retired, still time to get involved in the Butler Outdoor Club.
We are older members. Yeah. I mean, we're a relaxed outdoor club. We have members from Beaver, Butler, Westmoreland, Armstrong, Allegheny County. So it's not just Butler County. I mean, we got members from all over. It's just people like to be outdoors year-round.
One of the nicest things I did up at Jennings, in fact, I've done this a couple of years, go on a wildflower
hike. We do the wildflower hike up there in the end of July, first of August, when the prairie's in bloom. Mm-hmm. We do a hike in a spring wildflower hike up at Slippery Rock at the
Wolf Creek.
Wolf Creek Narrows up there. There's a nice, beautiful flowers up there in the spring when they come up in, April and May.
I've never been there. I've heard that. It was a wonderful story. Oh, gosh, was it just in this past Saturday's Post-Gazette or maybe Saturday a week ago? It was one of those personal columns. It's not a regular syndicated columnist, but it was a wonderful thing about a man who had gone back to where his grandparents had lived. They had a house along Wolf Creek outside of Slippery Rock, and he said, I'd never been back there in years. I decided I was going to go back and see what it was like, even though his grandparents were long dead. And I mean, just a rather lengthy article, wonderfully written. And he goes down by the creek, and he said all of a sudden an eagle flashed down low across the creek and landed on the other side. And then within 15 seconds, another eagle. He said, I was flabbergasted. I had never seen eagles on Wolf Creek before. And he said,
they're all over Western Pennsylvania anymore. I mean,
well, he said it was a wonderful trip. He was so glad that he did it. He almost felt like his grandparents were watching, you know, while he was there again. Wolf Creek, have you ever been there, folks? Wolf Creek Narrows, actually. It's Slippery Rock Creek.
Slippery Rock, yeah.
Yeah, it's Wolf Creek Narrows outside of Slippery Rock. Lots of other good stuff, including camping, snowshoeing. Did you ever do that?
Yes.
No, I never did that.
We have to usually go north to do that with the amount of snow we do not get around here. Joyce Appel, which you're familiar with, she puts on three programs, usually two in January and one in February. We go up to the Wilderness Lodge up in Wattsburg, PA, for cross-country skiing and snowshoeing. And then we get up a lodge up at the Allegheny National Forest in February to do that up there also.
I've gone cross-country skiing. Have you ever done that?
No, I've stuck to the snowshoeing.
That's pretty strenuous. Those Norwegians in the Olympics, they make it look easy.
Right.
That's pretty tough. Again, folks, Butler Outdoor Club's annual dinner. Mark, go over the details on that and the last-minute reservation information.
There. Once again, it's this Saturday night at the East Butler Fire Hall. They're upstairs, the banquet room. We have a social auction time that starts at 5 o'clock. We actually have an auction where people donate things, and we also have gifts that people donate to the facility. Some of them are like from Segway or Segway in Pittsburgh, where you can, you know, ride the Segways around town, and the different museums donate tickets to their events. At 6:30, we have the dinner. 7:30, we start the program. And this year, every year we pass out a Outstanding Contributor Award. And this year it is Christina Hadley of the Allegheny Aquatic Alliance. And the work that she has done with the Conoconessing Creek the last 6 years is unbelievable.
She has spearheaded that cleanup of the creek.
Unbelievable what they've taken out of there in 6 years.
Yeah, old tires and tons of stuff.
Right.
Nice that she'll be honored.
Right. Yeah.
And last-minute reservations, if you'd like to attend this dinner. You do not have to be a member of the club. If you're a general public, you'll be most welcome. The program is on the Ice Age in Western Pennsylvania, presented by the Audubon Society of Western Pennsylvania. Sounds very interesting. You do need to get a reservation in by tomorrow, though,
right? By tomorrow, yes. Mm-hmm. I got to advise the caterer how many dinners to prepare for the event on Saturday.
And how do you put in a reservation?
Just email me through the president of Butler Outdoor Club, or give me a phone call at 724-919-2303.
Nice to meet you, Mark.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I was looking forward to chatting with you, and I had a good time.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. He's president of the Butler Outdoor Club. Nice to have him with us here today, Mark Pizzuto. More to come on It's Your Turn. We're going to be talking about American girls, teens, and their use of social media. I got to tell you, folks, it's pretty sobering and a little bit shocking, actually. Nancy Jo Sales researched this and has written about it, and we'll talk to her coming up next on the program. And after that, we'll have guests from Butler Senior High School, where they're going to be holding the all-school play this weekend. Dale Van Lanningham, the dramatics coach, and several students will be visiting with us on the final segment of the program today. So please stick around. We'll talk to Nancy Jo Sales in just a couple of minutes.
Looking for a way to make your company's benefit package a little more competitive? Here's one that's so easy, more than 130 local organizations and businesses have added it to their programs. Membership in Armco Credit Union. At Armco Credit Union, your employees will have access to the best loan rates and more free banking services, while direct deposit and payroll deduction options make it convenient for both of you. And best of all, it doesn't cost you a thing. Learn more at armcocu.com or by calling 284-2020. Armco Credit Union is an equal opportunity lender and is insured by NCUA.
I know of a way to reduce the level of future stress in your life, and I know that it works. One of the most stressful times in our lives is immediately after the death of a loved one, because we have to make so many decisions. The funeral, which casket, which minister, priest, or rabbi, cremation, visitations, church service, or not. All these decisions. Thompson Miller Funeral Home in Butler suggests that you avoid all these last-minute decisions during that most emotional time by pre-planning. To make all of these decisions now, when you can think clearly and rationally, when you're not burdened by the immediate event. Talk it over soon now with Thompson Miller Funeral Home at the corner of East North and McCain Streets in downtown Butler. Call 724-287-3706, 287-3706, or www.thompson-miller.com. Pre-arrangement. It makes sense. Thompson Miller. Time-honored excellence.
Another very topical subject on the It's Your Turn program next year on WISR. Listeners, if you're just joining us, my name is Dave Malarkey. Our guest for this segment joins us by telephone. She is Nancy Jo Sales, and we want to talk about her newly published book with a very intriguing title. It's a New York Times bestseller, American Girls, Social Media, and the Secret Lives of Teenagers. Nancy Jo Sales, nice to have you with us for a few minutes here today. Nice to talk to you.
You too. Thank you so much.
You want to talk about, in your book, the culture of American girls these days. And I'll tell you what, it's a real eye-opener in terms of the use of social media. Teenage girls between the ages of 13 and 19, they are on social media almost all the time. I mean, that's where they live, isn't it?
It is. It's where most kids live, but girls do use it slightly more than boys.
Mm-hmm.
And they use it a bit differently, I would say. The book really explores the ways in which girls feel a lot of pressure to promote themselves online in a kind of unfortunate popularity contest where you must get likes, and very often likes are gotten through hypersexualized photos, through sort of outrageous behavior and content.
There was one testimonial from the San Francisco Chronicle that I'm going to read. It's one sentence. It says, "This book forces us to face a disturbing new reality, and it should be required reading." And I must tell you, I certainly don't claim to be an expert in this regard, but it was disturbing to me. I have a review copy of your book here. There are social media apps on here, Nancy Jo Sales, that I never even heard of before. One called Yik Yak, which I guess is sort of like an anonymous Twitter or something like that?
I mentioned Yik Yak. It's not the most popular app, but I mentioned it because I was following it for a while, and I saw how it was so often, you know, very, very sexually explicit kind of messages, anonymous messages would just be posted. It's sort of like an anonymous Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed to me striking that it was so normalized. You know, I think one of the things that we're seeing here is that in a very, very short time, cell phones have, you know, smartphones only came out in 2007 in America, 2008, social media widely adapted 2009, 2010 to now, in just a really nanosecond, historically speaking, we're seeing unprecedented technological change. I mean, everything we do now is really through our phones, our banking, our shopping, et cetera. And it's completely changed childhood in this really, you know, small span of time. And I don't think that parenting has really caught up with it. And as the book came out in hardcover last year, and it's now in paperback yesterday, which is why we're talking. It's a really nice new orange cover that I love. So you can look for it in paperback wherever there's books. So in this last year, I've gotten to travel around talking about the book to parents and schools and organizations. And parents are so desperate, many of them, to know, what do I do, what do I do? Because this is all different. We didn't grow up with this. We never saw this before. We simply didn't have devices by which we were 13, 14 years old and could exchange naked pictures of our bodies, you know, with the press of a button. And we really have to think about and talk with our kids about the sort of personal ramifications of this, the ethical ramifications. Sometimes there's, you know, criminality attached to
mm-hmm.
it.
Yes.
You know, kids can, and kids don't sometimes really understand that. And from behind a screen, studies say that we are all more aggressive in how we behave to each other. And this really translates, I've heard from many, many girls, translates with boys into a kind of aggressive and sometimes very sexually bold behavior where they demand nude pictures or things like that. And, you know, girls send nude pictures in an unsolicited too, but it is more common, I would say, with boys. There's, you know, it's not uncommon now for a girl to have received a naked picture of a boy's anatomy. Hmm. And this is just this shocking and kind of disturbing new reality where you say, wow, how are they supposed to know how to deal with this?
Yeah, I can remember when I first heard, about this, exchanging such pictures or sexting. These are all new terms. It's really just within, as you said, the explosion of social media within the past 5 or 6 years. Now, you say in your book, American Girls, Social Media and the Secret Lives of Teenagers, that this hyper-sexualized culture is really, it's kind of normalized now. This is the way it is, and teenagers understand this.
It's normalized, but it's not, that doesn't make it okay. You know what I mean? Like, just because something's normalized is not, it's still not okay. And it also doesn't mean that it has to stay that way. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can change culture by addressing the things that are, you know, unacceptable. And these things have really just happened because nobody's sort of been monitoring it or watching it. Speaking of monitoring, there are parents who have these monitoring apps where they watch what their kids are doing online. But teenagers tell me, when they know their parents are monitoring them, they also know ways to get around that. And it just really can't catch everything that's going on. I think what we really need to talk to them more about is the sort of attitudes and cultural, you know, mindset behind something like normalizing nude pictures. What I think the problem is that it really robs them of the chance or learning how to develop real intimacy with each other, to get to know somebody, to have those baby steps towards developing a real relationship, like holding hands or having a conversation or, mm-hmm. you know, having those little sweet little romantic moments that kids were once having, and that they are having less and less now because these other things just are in place of that.
Yeah, I was thinking about, as I was browsing through the review copy of your book, this concept of, and I'm speaking of young girls here because that's the specific subject that you address in your book, but, you know, there's a classic scene from the old Broadway show and then a film, Bye Bye Birdie, where the phone scene, where, you know, there's like 15 girls all talking at the same time on the phone, sharing things like, you know, am I attractive? You know, does he love me? Am I ever going to have a boyfriend? That's been going on forever. But that's different now. It's not just that sort of communication.
Well, I mean, nobody wants us to go back to the 1950s and have, you know, girls be restricted in the way that they were back then. I'm not advocating that at all. I mean, I'm very feminist, and I think the book is very feminist. And by that, I mean, to me, feminism is just a matter of respect and respecting all people, really, girls and boys, men and women. And I think that's the real problem here is we have a breakdown of respect because we have this medium behind screens behind which you are less likely to be respectful to someone. I mean, I think adults see that even on their Facebook feed where they see people getting into fights over nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, I saw that a lot in the run-up to the recent election. And cyberbullying is also this huge problem which happened to every girl that I interviewed to some degree. So, but yes, when you think about the days before and what was before, I think you can see how the technology has changed it. Who would have ever thought we would be nostalgic for telephones? But the fact of the matter is, when you have a conversation on a telephone, you are being more intimate with someone because you're using your voice, you're using vocal cues that are just gives a much more richer kind of communication than from behind a screen. And in person, it's just so much, there's just so much more going on when you communicate in person than from behind a screen. I'll tell you a little story. Recently, a dad who read my book told me that he was driving his daughter and her two friends home from soccer practice, and he noticed that the car was very quiet. So he said he'd read my book, and he probably wouldn't have noticed it, but he looked in the rearview mirror, and he saw that all the girls were on their phones, and he thought, you know, that's different from when I was a kid. All these girls would have been talking to each other. So he asked them, what are you doing on your phone? They were texting each other. They were sitting next to each other in the car, but they were texting each other on their group text to talk instead of actually talking. So, I mean, I think when we notice things like that, and I think most parents have started to notice things like that in their kids' behavior, I think we know that we have a problem. When kids aren't even talking to each other when they're in the same room or in the same car, you know, it's really taking away their ability to talk to each other.
We are talking, listeners, and we have a few more minutes left in our chat with Nancy Jo Sales, the author of the New York Times bestseller, and by the way, Kirkus Review's best book of the year. The title is American Girls, Social Media and the Secret Lives of Teenagers. It has just gone paperback from the original hardback edition. Did you have a target audience when you were writing this book, Nancy Jo? Were you aiming it specifically at parents or?
I mean, certainly parents seem to be reading it the most, and it's definitely something for parents to read. It's been taken up a lot in schools and in colleges, too, and anybody who's interested in social media, in feminism, in pop culture. But I think, yes, definitely parents are the ones who seem to be reading it the most, and girls, too. I mean, if you're a parent of a teenage girl, I would say read it first and make sure that you think your daughter's old enough to be, you know, that it's age appropriate for her, because, and that's really a determination for the parent to make, because necessarily, because of the nature of the subject matter, there are discussions of pornography and some descriptions of sexually explicit things that go on.
Mm-hmm.
She might already know about these things, but I just feel like I shouldn't say, oh, this is a book for girls,
yep,
without having parents really check it out first.
I understand exactly what you're talking about. By the way, don't think, if you're an adult, don't think you're in the clear on this. I mean, don't be so quick to blame teenagers. Most adults are getting more and more tethered to these devices too, Nancy Jo.
Absolutely. That comes up a lot. I mean, I discussed that a bit in the book. You know, parents have to be aware of how they're role modeling their behavior. And, you know, you can't tell your kid, get off your phone, if they see you on it all the time. You can't tell your kid, don't post so much on social media, if they see you doing it all the time. And I have a discussion in the book, too, of how, unfortunately, parents post a lot about their children. That used to be a no-no when Facebook and everything first came out. There was a lot of discussion of, oh, you know, we really shouldn't post about our kids. It invades their privacy, and it's maybe even dangerous. Those things are true. But that sort of, you know, we all have become so addicted, that sort of fell away. And now you can't go on your social media if you're an adult without seeing somebody posting pictures of their kids. Well, kids don't like this. I mean, as soon as they become, like, verbal and they're aware of what's going on, they don't like it. And there was a recent study where kids said they wish their parents wouldn't post about them at all, and if they did, that they would ask their permission. But that they're not able to ask permission when they're born 1, 2 years old, you know? And when they grow up just thinking that this is what life is, mommy, daddy, you know, recording my life for public consumption. And also, I question, and I talk to parents about, what do you think this is doing to your child's sense of, like, how to experience life? Is life for living and experiencing in the moment, or is it for doing something cute and funny or silly or whatever so that mom or daddy will have a good post and get lots of likes? So these are all things that I think parents have to be aware of as well.
A little bit about our guest, listeners. Nancy Jo Sales is an award-winning journalist and author. She's written for, Vanity Fair, New York, Harper's Bazaar, many other publications. How did you research this book, Nancy Jo? First of all, how and how long did it take you to do the research?
I started in 2013. I wrote a piece for Vanity Fair that was the basis for the book, and went into 2015 reporting. So over about 2.5 years, I wound up traveling to 10 states, including Florida, California, Kentucky, Indiana, you know, all over the place. I was all over Virginia. And I talked to over 200 girls of all, you know, races, socioeconomic backgrounds, and very often their stories were so similar. And I think that's because the platforms are the same, like Snapchat is Snapchat in Boca Raton, Florida, and in the Bronx, New York, you know? And so it's very constrictive in how people use it, and no matter where you are, where you come from, there's only certain kinds of engagements you can have with it.
Can adults ever really understand the seriousness? You mentioned this earlier, cyberbullying and how rampant it is. Can adults ever really get their arms around just how intrusive this is and how pervasive it is?
I feel like the book enables girls to tell the stories in their own voices. And sometimes after I would interview these girls, I would get very upset. You know, you can't help but listen to such things and have it move you. And I've heard from parents and adults who've read the book say that they cried after reading some of the stories of these girls, because I think the way into understanding is through emotion, and the way that we really understand how devastating all of this can be is to try and feel the feelings that the girls are feeling. And that's why I let them tell the stories in their own voices so much, because I want people to think about what it is to be that girl, that 13-year-old girl who's had, you know, a naked picture of herself passed around her entire school, something that we've never seen before in our lives, and how it feels to her to have to then go back to that school and know that everyone has seen that and is talking about her and making fun of her. And it's just this really disturbing new reality that parents have to know about, and also to protect their kids from. I think we need to protect them. It's become, for some reason, fashionable to talk about protecting children. But that is really our job as adults, as parents, as teachers, to protect them from things that they are just can't, you know, otherwise be protected from if we don't do it for them.
And by the way, I saw some statistics in your book. The latest year for which they're available is 2015, so that's about a year ago. But nonetheless, in the neighborhood of 90% of teenagers have phones these days.
Yeah, I mean, there's different studies that say different things, but I think we have it in the high 80-90 percentile range. And this is, across socioeconomic lines. You know, kids have phones. They're on them. They're not going away. I don't advocate throwing away phones. I do agree with the, you know, how can you not agree with the Pediatrics Association that says you should delay giving kids phones as long as possible. I mean, this is a study that came out since my book came out that said delay, delay, delay. So I agree with that, but I don't think there's any way to get rid of these phones. I mean, they've just worked their way into our lives too much. Everything we do now is on the phones, as I was saying. So I do think, though, we can change the culture of the phones. I mean, that's a different thing. It's not that we can't really blame the technology, but we can certainly change the way that we use it.
Well, listeners, our time has expired here to chat with Nancy Jo Sales. But, I just want to warn you, if you think that you're pretty savvy on social media, take it from me. I mean, everybody knows about Facebook and Twitter, or you've at least heard the terms if you don't use them. But there are apps that Nancy Jo Sales talks about in this book that are commonly used by teenagers that I never even heard of before. It's gotten a lot of buzz from some fairly prestigious publications, listeners, and it's now in paperback. The title again is American Girls, Social Media, and the Secret Lives of Teenagers by Nancy Jo Sales, with whom we've been chatting for the last few minutes here on It's Your Turn. And you said one thing, Nancy Jo, when you're looking for the book, it's a bright red-orange cover. You can't miss it, huh?
Yeah, it looks good. I'm pleased with the new cover.
Thanks for being with us today. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you.
Well, we thank Nancy Jo Sales. By the way, coming up on tomorrow's program, we will be chatting tomorrow with Dennis Johnston, getting all the latest information on Toys for Tots on tomorrow's program. And they're really whipping into shape now because, boy, you know, we're a week into November, folks. A week into November. Thanksgiving is just over 2 weeks away. So we'll get the details on that. Also, Ralph Christie Jr. will be here tomorrow. And we'll get the update on the fall production of the Sing Hosanna Performing Arts Group. And Stan Kosciuszko, the president of the Butler County Chamber of Commerce, will also be joining us on tomorrow's program. So I hope you can be with us as well. Later in the week, we'll be talking with Butler County's Veteran of the Year in advance of Veterans Day, which falls on a Saturday this year. This Saturday, so are we still going to have a parade? The answer is yes. We'll get the details on that, too, on Wednesday, same day that we talk with the Butler County's Veteran of the Year. So lots to look forward to over the next few days here on It's Your Turn. We'll meet our next guests from Butler Senior High School in just a moment. One of our sponsors on the It's Your Turn program today is Cummings Candy and Coffee Shop, with their headquarters, their original store on Main Street in downtown Butler, under the red and white awning. You know, Cummings has been a family business for well over a century, over 105 years, and they've been at that location on Main Street for 100 years. Pretty amazing. They have two more locations now, though. Yeah, Cummings has a shop in the Butler Memorial Hospital, and the newest Cummings, Cummings West, on Route 68, Evans City Road, right on the outskirts of Butler. With the holidays just around the corner, Cummings offers corporate orders of custom gift boxes to give to clients and as gifts. Choose from an assortment of chocolate-covered potato chips, pretzels, graham crackers, cherry cordials. They're all just fabulous. And you could add a half-pound bag of Butler's own proprietary blend of coffee, the Main Street Roast, roasted right there at Cummings' location on North Main Street. Call Barry Cummings for more information on corporate orders. Phone number is 724-287-3287. Cummings, open 7 days a week. Oh, peanut brittle, available now too. Cummings Candy and Coffee Shops. We'll be back to meet our next guests in just a moment or so.
My name is Larry Thompson, Vice Chairman of the Butler County Republican Committee. If adopted, the non-discrimination ordinance proposed for the city of Butler would expose city businesses, schools, and churches to allegations of discrimination, sometimes premised on a mere perception of discrimination as opposed to fact-based evidence. On November 7th, vote to protect Butler's businesses, schools, and churches. Vote Jeff Smith and James Campbell for City Council and Ben Smith for Mayor. Thank you.
Paid for by the Republican Committee.
Does your pharmacy tell you your wait time for a prescription will take a half an hour or longer, or maybe won't even be ready until the next day? Don't think this is your only option. At Institute Hill Pharmacy, we have made it a priority to take care of our customers' needs first because your time is precious. Most wait times are under 10 minutes. So don't you think it's time to make a switch to Institute Hill Pharmacy, located at 937 East Jefferson Street, or find us on Facebook. Institute Hill Pharmacy, an old-fashioned pharmacy just the way you remember.
Got any plans for Thanksgiving weekend? Yeah, I know, turkey and stuffing, football, and Black Friday shopping, but don't stop there. Keep the fun going with Butler's Spirit of Christmas Parade and Candyland Celebration on Saturday the 25th, presented by XTO Energy. It's a day full of fun for the entire family, beginning at noon in downtown Butler. At the YMCA, kids become human playing pieces in our life-size Candyland game, can write letters to Santa, and play other fun holiday-themed games. From there, head over to the Newcastle Street Plaza to meet local mascots and take selfies with Elfie, and warm up with free hot cocoa at the Butler City Fire Station. Show off your skating skills at the outdoor synthetic rink in the People's Gas parking lot. Get inside our giant snow globe for a photo op and test your hockey skills in our hockey shootout game. And while you're making your way around town, do a little shopping with our downtown merchants who are celebrating Small Business Saturday. And be sure to save time to enjoy a great meal at one of the many eateries Butler downtown has to offer before the Spirit of Christmas Parade starts at 5:30. So let me ask you again, got any plans this Thanksgiving weekend?
Welcome back, good friends. Nice to have you with us on the Monday edition of It's Your Turn. We're rolling right along here on a Monday. We have several guests with us now from Butler Senior High School to tell us all about the all-school play coming up this weekend. Let's say hello first to Dale Van Lanningham, who is the theater coach, teacher too, of course, but
yes.
Directs the plays and the musical. Dale, good to see you as always.
Thanks for having us.
Still raining or is it stopped?
It's stopped for now.
A little on the gray side.
Yeah.
Well, we're a weekend in November, you know.
Well,
we were living on borrowed time with all those 70-degree days. We have two students with us here as well. Let's say hello to Danielle Potter. Is that right, Danielle Potter?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hello.
Nice to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
And also Emma Hurley. Hi, Emma. How are you?
Hi, I'm good.
I'm guessing you're both in the cast of the all-school play?
Yes, we are.
Of course.
Yeah. And what's the name of the play?
Parents Just Don't Understand.
Parents Just Don't Understand.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, you'll have to tell me a little bit about this one, Dale Van Lanningham, because I'm not familiar with the show.
The basic premise is it's the age-old story, you know, that the generation gap, you know, parents and children could be talking to each other, basically saying the exact same thing, but they don't get each other. You know, it's I always use the old quote that's often attributed to Mark Twain, you know, I left home when I was 14. This is loosely paraphrased. I left home when I was 14, and I couldn't believe how, you know, ignorant my father was. And when I returned at 21, I was amazed at how much the old man had learned in 7 years.
Smart you know? He was all of a sudden. Yeah.
Right. And that's basically what it is. It's a series of scenes, and very relatable. There's not a scene that goes by that probably at least the average audience member is not going to go, oh, I've been there, done that. Anyway, and the what makes the scene humorous is there's communication in theory. There's talking, okay, but the parents and the children have different understandings of what's really happening. Various things throughout life, some good, some bad, if you will, but just how we perceive things so differently, you know, and as we age, how that changes.
Is it a fairly new show?
I believe it was written 2012, 2013, so it's pretty new, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Whenever you're selecting a show for the all-school play, do you have a regular plan, a regular routine, or sometimes does it
kind of
come to you in the middle of the night?
Well, every now and again I'll see something. Maybe I'll see it in Pittsburgh, or I'll see it someplace else, or read a review of something that piques my interest. But generally, I try to start with I always try to start with a comedy. I just prefer them. I think you could find enough drama in comedy, you know, a message, and there's enough drama in the real world. I'll save that for other venues. I try to find that, but I try to find something that's kind of new. You know, that's not been done a lot, just because we've seen lots of, and not to say that other things aren't good, it's just we've seen them, and I try to find something that has a little bit of a message or a story behind it, something people can relate to, get something out of it. But then at the end, I want them to go home in better informed, maybe, but at the very least, go home happy, laughing.
Let's talk a little bit with Danielle Potter. Is this like an ensemble cast, Danielle? Are there a lot of characters, or is it, you know, just like five or six people?
Oh yeah, of course. Our cast in total is roughly 10 of us, and we're all taking different roles of like parents and their kids, and we have just different characters that are being portrayed, like personalities and all that.
Different situations in life too as well.
Oh yeah, of course. There's a bunch of like family dynamics and situations that like occur that we've all been there, and you know, just like arguing with your parents, or there's good times with the family. It has a little bit of everything in like a comedic form.
So did you laugh, Emma Hurley, when you first read through this play, when you sat down for the read-through for the first time?
Yes, definitely. We were all laughing so hard. Like, some of us couldn't even go through our lines because there's a lot of just really funny one-liners thrown in there, just like stereotypes that are just really funny. Yeah, it was definitely.
So pick out a scene or two that we can relate to so that we can get an idea of, you know, more of what this show is about. Are there scenes where there are siblings discussing with parents, or we are arguing with siblings or something like that?
Yeah, I think one of like the main ones that maybe you're hinting at is we have a family vacation scene.
I'm not hinting. I've never seen the show.
Well, you'll see it eventually.
A family car scene.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Just imagine being stuck with the rest of your family for like 5 hours just driving, and you know, like the tension that can build, like the good times, and just like everyone kind of getting on each other's nerves, like jokes that arise, like sibling rivalry happening in the background. All that happens throughout it.
I'm thinking of National Lampoon's Vacation.
Well, it's definitely more PG rated. Yeah.
That, I assume you guys have seen that movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
With Chevy Chase, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Pretty funny. Yeah. There's a magic age. I don't know whether magic is the correct adjective or not, but, you know, when you're a certain age, you can't wait to go on family vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You know, when you're like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And then suddenly you're at an age where you're not really all that interested in going on family vacation anymore. Mm-hmm. It's different for different people, but it's usually around, what, 13, 14,
teenage
around
years,
in there?
Teenage years, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know,
early
you hit
teens.
That and you say, I don't know whether I can stand being in the back seat with my brother for a five-hour car trip, you know,
oh,
or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what else comes up in a typical family going through life? What about boyfriends and girlfriends? Does that ever surface? Are there any vignettes about that?
Yeah, there is actually a scene. I'm not personally in it, but it's between a father and his son. Mm-hmm. And the father is trying to talk to his son about a girlfriend or a potential girlfriend. And it's just like a really awkward, like, he's trying to bring it up, but they don't really want to talk about it. But the father's trying to make him talk about it. And so, yeah, that's a really funny one. Mm-hmm.
This has been mined for decades, long before these students. I mean, as soon as you mention that, I'm thinking of the old black and white syndicated reruns I've seen,
sure,
of like Leave It to Beaver or something like that. You know?
Yeah, it's interesting because there are 10 scenes, and there's not a one of these scenes that you probably couldn't find in some fashion in an old TV show or an old movie. Because they're timeless themes. They're the same things that every family, every generation has gone through. You know, the details change a little bit, but the general concepts, the general relationships, and the interactions are the same.
So do you have to play... Obviously, there's only 10 or 12 of you, so you have to play older people at times, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That's a pretty big challenge, isn't it?
Yeah. Actually, Mr. Van Lanningham was giving me a hard time about my one scene. I'm a mother in that one, and me and my daughter are in an argument. And so he was just harping on me about getting that motherly character going, even though I totally wouldn't understand that as a 17-year-old girl. But, yeah, just, you know, trying to play that part is definitely challenging.
Mm-hmm. So what about, is it a car scene when you're going on vacation? Are you in a car?
That one is. That one's in a car.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Danielle, how is that staged? Do you have a fake car? Are you looking out through a windshield? Or how did you decide to stage that?
We're in the placement of a car. And the way you were seating, like, it's obvious that we're going on a car ride.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we got the father's driving. He's, like, pushing the pedal. We got the kids elevating the background. So they're going to be seen through the audience. And, yeah,
so
we're
the
all...
kids are in the back seat.
Right. Oh, yeah.
It's done with four stools.
Oh, okay.
Two short ones and two tall ones.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So you're asking the audience to, I love this, by the way, to use their imagination for a lot of things.
Right. And that's been a challenging part for them, too, because they have to, through their movements and the way they act, you know, on the stage, to be able to present scenery that isn't really there. Mm-hmm. Actually, there's two car scenes. One's the family car trip, and one is dad teaching his daughter to drive.
Okay. Classic situation.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Right. And there are a couple other ones, too. And it requires some imagination from the audience, but it's still, you know, responsibility of the cast to help paint that picture with their movements, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it's dialogue, to be fair, part of it's a script, but a big part of it's them and their movements and how they pantomime or project certain images, if you will.
This could be a real challenge, too. I did a show that's, it wasn't anything about this, but it was a show called Fitz. It was written as an experimental one act, and there were just two characters. I was in it with a girl, and everything was mimed, and it all took place on a small sailboat, so there was nothing. It was a bare stage, and we had to move the whole time as if we were on a boat. We moved the sail around, you know, had to learn all these yachting terms and so on and so forth, and we also had to make our own sound effects.
Oh, wow.
When we were cranking the ropes on the sailboat or so on. It was a wonderful time. I mean, thank goodness it was a one act, because otherwise I'd have been
dead. That could get long, yeah.
But, yeah. I learned things there that I've remembered forever. How to pull on a rope, how to mime that. I had to go up and down stairs. The boat had a little, you know, like a little
cabin. Two different levels, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, a galley or whatever it was. So think about this. There's nothing there. It's a blank stage. You got to do that, you know. Wonderful opportunity for you to grow.
Yeah,
during
definitely.
This play.
Uh-huh.
Are you experienced, Emma? Have you done a lot of work on stage?
Yeah, I actually started doing musical theater when I was probably about 8 years old.
Get out. And you're 17 now?
Yep.
Are you a junior or senior?
I'm a senior.
Senior, so you'll be graduating, huh?
Yes, I will. Yeah.
So most of the stuff have you done, has it been school work? Or?
I've done some community theater. I started doing the Butler's All School Musicals in eighth grade.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just been such a fun program. It's taught me so much. It's been super great. So, yeah, it's something that I definitely really love and will hopefully take on with me the rest of my life.
It's a good experience for young people to get on stage. I always wish that I would have gotten into it when I was in high school. I did not. It wasn't until I got into undergraduate school that I started fiddling around with theater. But it gives you great confidence.
Yeah.
You know,
if
you can get up there in front of your peers and not make a fool of yourself, you've taken a big step in life, don't you think?
Yeah, and it's definitely cool, like, seeing your fellow peers, like, grow so much. Like, I have people who I've been in shows with back in ninth grade and just how we've all kind of changed and learned and grown so much and gotten a lot better and improved.
I agree wholeheartedly. What about you, Danielle? Have you been in theater a lot, or is this something new for you?
I've roughly been doing shows since 2013 with Summer Dramatics, and I started school. Like, we used to do plays back when the junior high was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I started at the senior high when I was a freshman, so I've been on board for a while now.
Are you also a senior?
Yes, I'm a senior.
So you'll be graduating as well, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Are there more shows this year, or is this the...
Oh, no, we have the all-school musical in March, and we have an evening of one acts, which is usually a pretty good time. Those are student-directed, as a matter of fact. I just kind of help them pull it all together, and we have that in April.
Do you still have a thespian club at Butler Senior High?
Not officially, because they used to do a musical. We used to do two musicals a year. Literally, it became so expensive to be able to do two musicals and a play every year. It was very difficult to do. So
a lot of our listeners may not realize that whenever you mount a play, even if it's a high school production, amateur, you have to pay royalties to the person who wrote it.
And it can be quite expensive,
It can be very expensive, especially for a musical.
Musicals are very expensive.
Even a, even a straight play like this, you have to pay you have to pay a royalty every time you do it. And it depends on how big the house is, and there's a whole bunch of other stuff.
Sure.
By the way, I haven't gone over the particulars, for goodness sakes. Please forgive me. It's this weekend, is it not?
It is. It's this Friday and Saturday. Butler Senior High School Auditorium. 7:30. It's $10. Just get that at the door. Not a problem. And we're guessing the running time is going to be pretty close to 90 minutes. So it's nice. It gets in, gets you to laugh quite a bit. Maybe reminisce a little bit. And then we'll send you home happily.
Is there an intermission, or do you go straight
through? There is a brief intermission in the middle, yeah.
We're talking with two students, both seniors at Butler Senior High School. Danielle Potter is here, and Emma Hurley, and Dale Van Lanningham is here as well on the faculty at Butler Senior High. You teach only at senior high, do you?
I teach at senior high, right.
What do you teach, by the way, other than being the theater coach?
Social studies. Government and history.
Yeah. You girls like history?
Yeah, it's not bad. I think it's interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes I struggle with it, though. I don't know.
Always one of my favorite subjects.
Yeah. I think it's interesting, definitely.
Yeah. Just don't mention any math courses to me because I turn pale and weak-kneed. We need to pause for a break here to talk about one of our sponsors, and that would be, oh, boy, my mouth starts to water when I just start thinking about this, Jones Turkey Farm in Cabot. On Jones Road in Cabot, so obviously close to us, no matter where you're listening here. Folks, I want to tell you about these birds. You know, we're just over 2 weeks away from Thanksgiving. You don't believe me? Look at your calendar. It's like 2 weeks and 2 days till Thanksgiving. Here's why the turkeys at Jones Turkey Farm are so good. They offer all-natural, free-roaming turkeys and chickens. A lot of folks are looking for that these days. Free-roaming birds, all natural. Their birds are handled with extreme care. They are specifically fed non-GMO grain. That's genetically modified. None of that. They are preservative-free. They are additive-free. They are delicious. In fact, the owner of Jones Turkey Farm, Dave Jones, stakes his reputation on his turkeys being quite simply the best. Now, you can buy your turkey frozen if that's more convenient for you. For a lot of folks, it is. That's fine. Or you can get it fresh. Right before the big holiday meal, your choice. We'll give you a phone number here in just a sec. You can call to place an order today. You can also visit their website, jonesturkeyfarm.com. jonesturkeyfarm.com. Phone number, it's in Cabot, 724-352-2450. 352-2450. Jones Turkey Farm. Jones Road in Cabot. Quite simply, the best. I can just picture a big drumstick right now. We'll take a break to check the midday lottery numbers. Back to talk more with Emma, with Danielle, and with Dale Van Lanningham here on It's Your Turn on WISR. We'll be back right after these words.
Midday lottery numbers for you today. The pick 2 is 6969. The pick 3 is 312. Pick 4, 2045. Pick 5, 75168. The wild ball for each of those is 3. The treasure hunt is 9, 12, 16, 25, and 30. Estimated jackpot for tomorrow's treasure hunt is $50,000.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler. Welcome back, good friends. Don't forget, coming up on tomorrow's program, we'll be chatting about Toys for Tots. They're probably just about ready. Well, they've already got their boxes out, don't they? We're getting close here. Dennis Johnston will be here. Give us an update on Toys for Tots. Also tomorrow, Ralph Christie will be here. Get an update on the next Sing Hosanna production. And Stan Kosciuszko, the president of the Butler County Chamber of Commerce, visits with us. Later in the week, on Wednesday, Butler County's Veteran of the Year. He will be honored at a dinner this Saturday. He'll have a place of honor in the Veterans Day Parade. I'll also be giving you all of the details about that, too, on the Wednesday program when we talk with the Veteran of the Year. Two students here from Butler Senior High School, Danielle Potter and Emma Hurley. Now, will you do more shows? I mean, because when we get past the holidays, it's going to be your last couple of months of school. Mm-hmm. You're going to be pretty busy. Are you going to have time to do a musical, for goodness sakes, Danielle?
Oh, of course. It's such a blast. I wouldn't miss it for the world. Yeah, we'll be a part of the musical and the one acts that will come up in the spring.
Mm-hmm. Have you done one acts before?
Yes, I did it just last year was my first one.
Mm-hmm. They're different, aren't they?
Yeah.
And you say, Dale, these are student directed?
They're pre-written. I mean, they're, you know, we buy the rights and mm-hmm. everything. Mm-hmm. Students direct. We also do it on stage. It's done 3/4 round. The audience sits on three sides, and they act in a much smaller, I think, mm-hmm. 12x16
wow.
area. So they have mm-hmm. to, you know, learn the directing for being surrounded, basically.
Very different. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Did you ever work at the now long gone Silver Fox Theater up in St. Petersburg?
No, no. I'm familiar with it, but yeah. I never got to go there. Yeah.
Yeah. I did several shows up there, and that was a tiny space in the round. It was actually square, but extremely small. And entrances on all sides, but no doors, no windows, yeah. and you couldn't put them up. So you had to let the audience imagine that, yeah. you know. You mimed opening a window or opening a door, whatever. Yeah. And you are really up close in that kind of a situation.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's a lot different.
Right on stage. So, Emma, do you have any plans for the future at this stage? Because I don't know. The timetable seems to be very much changed nowadays
yeah.
for seniors in high school. There are some kids who don't make a decision on what they're going to do or where they're going to go until... No, like spring, right?
Even yeah, late you spring? Definitely do see some kids like that. Personally, I actually just got accepted to the University of Pittsburgh, so that's good. I'm looking to go there for, I did get freshman guarantee into their occupational therapy degree program, so thinking about that, definitely do want to take theater with me. I'm looking into possibly minoring in that, getting involved in some stuff downtown Pittsburgh. Would definitely be mm-hmm. super cool.
Pitt has a good theater department.
They do. Mm-hmm.
They've got, I've seen several shows. They have theaters right next to the Cathedral of Learning. The Stephen mm-hmm. Foster mm-hmm. building. There's two theaters there. One upstairs, mm-hmm. one down. There's a black box downstairs. Nice. So you'll be able to do that. Take a year mm-hmm. off, please, and get acclimated, you know.
Yeah.
Do you need, like, really good grades to get accepted into Pitt these days? I'll bet you do.
Decently good. Yeah. Yeah. It was definitely super... awesome whenever I found out that I was going to be into the occupational therapy program, because that's definitely a lot more challenging to get into. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
When you got the letter, that was good news, huh?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
What about you, Danielle? And, you know, some people have not made up their minds yet, and the statistics show that 2/3 of the people who have made up their minds change their minds.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, later on, so there's no pressure here. But what have you? No. Do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I feel like I'm one of those. I'm thinking bio right now. I've applied to Point Park for biology, but I feel like if I go, I'll end up going for theater. It's almost like an internal battle right now, like, mm-hmm. which do you choose? But
that's a really big theater school, Point
Park. I know.
Yeah, they've got a brand new facility downtown.
Yeah,
that's beautiful, yeah.
I don't know if it's done yet or not. It's all glass on the outside, I think. Yeah, nice.
Yeah, so I've applied. I need the application. I applied, and I'll be getting my letter back maybe in the next week or two.
Mm-hmm. Biology.
Mm-hmm. It's something.
It's another tough curriculum. You
yeah, there's a lot.
Pretty good grades to get into that.
Oh, yeah. They're there. yeah.
Grades are there, huh? No
grades
sweat.
grades are there. No sweat. It's just the thought of if I'm going to be able to memorize so many terms. It's in depth. Anything you do is going to be really in depth.
Now, have you had to take like AP biology or something in high school? If you were thinking along these lines, or
you don't have to, but I'm in it right now because it's going to give you a leg up. And if you take the AP exam, you could potentially get out of your first biology class. So that'll save you money and time in the long run.
Fewer tests too.
Exactly.
Any course you can get out of it. You know
exactly.
Yeah. So you would perhaps teach or research if that's what you end up doing?
Yeah, if I end up doing that, I'm thinking of going into genetics, so research somehow in that area.
My genetics education ended with the fruit flies.
Yeah.
Well, that's about as far as I went in AP biology. So occupational therapy, you would be a therapist? Should that, that turn out?
Yeah, occupational therapy, that's basically just you're helping people with like day-to-day activities. So I would love to work with children. I was definitely thinking about that. There's also like a lot of jobs just like in schools and nursing homes and hospitals. So just a wide field for that, definitely.
In parents just don't understand. Yeah. Do you use names when you play all these different characters? I mean, do you have to remember when you come on stage with Emma, do you have to remember what her name is this time around? As opposed to last time?
Kind of, sort of. It's written that there's usually, there's some exceptions, he's seen as four characters, mom, dad, son, daughter.
Oh, okay. So that pretty much repeats.
But we do change. In some scenes, the actors are the parents, and sometimes they're the children. So I did mix it up. So they have to play a little bit of everything. Sometimes names are thrown out, but not always.
Do you have to change your costumes every time you do this?
No, we're actually all wearing just black. All black.
And then we're using an article of clothing to signify dad, mom, like the son or the daughter, like one article of clothing that they just kind of throw on quickly. That way they're not doing a full costume change.
Who gets to learn how to drive from dad? Either one of you two?
No.
Someone of the other cast
Somebody
members.
Else. Yeah.
That should be a good scene.
Oh, yeah.
It's good. Yeah.
It's
a funny one.
This is it's obviously appropriate here. I mean, probably even younger kids will get a lot of laughs out of this.
Oh, absolutely,
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very funny. It's older folks, all ages, not a problem.
Yeah. Is dad teaching his daughter to drive a straight stick or an automatic?
Oh, no, automatic. It's an automatic, yeah.
I suppose it's got all that stuff in it now, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Smartphones, iPods.
Oh, yeah, smartphones, yeah.
Really?
iPods, yeah.
The world is passing us by, Dale.
A little bit.
We didn't have these things when we were in high school. The name of the show is... Parents just don't understand. I keep thinking of, and you girls have both done musicals. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen or done Bye Bye Birdie? You know, Bye Bye Birdie.
I've never done it. I have seen it once. It was a long time ago, so I couldn't tell you much about it. But
there's much of the Dick Van Dyke character. I can't think of the guy's name right now. But it's this show from the other end. it's parents who don't understand their kids.
Right.
In fact, Dick Van Dyke has a great... song and Kids These Days.
Yep.
Kids These Days.
It's Kids. That's the name of the song, yeah.
Yeah. He and Paul Lynn, I think, do that together.
Yeah.
After you're done with this show, watch it.
All right.
You'll enjoy it. Ticket information, you get tickets at the box office, right?
Yep, just get tickets at the door. They're $10 both nights, Friday and Saturday, 7:30. Again, it's about a 90-minute running time, so it's not too long. Won't be too late.
And it's two nights, this Friday and Saturday, Butler Senior High Auditorium. Parents just don't understand. They just don't understand. Nice to meet you, young ladies. Thanks for being here today.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Are we taking you out of class?
Yes.
Yeah. So happy getting out of stats right now.
Tisk,